Paul McCartney's song, Wonderful Christmas Time. That is definitely a Christmas time song. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell. Larry Mueller here with my guest Tom Wilmoth back with us. He is the author of the book Sound Bites, A Lifetime of Listening. And you can hear him on his podcast. It's called The Vinyl Approach. And we're talking about Christmas music with him today, especially songs that some may not consider Christmas music or that may not get a lot of play. So what unfamiliar song would you like to suggest? Love to hear from you. You can call us at 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Tom Wilmoth, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. I really appreciate it.
So what do you think makes a Christmas song a Christmas song?
That's a great question. Of course, we've got the Paul McCartney tune there, Wonderful Christmas Time, and there's no doubt about it. He's singing about the joys of Christmas. But there are several tunes that have a Christmas setting, but they're not exactly Christmas songs, or they don't seem to be Christmas themed so much. Like I say, Paul, no doubt about it, but we've got a couple I know that are on the list that they have Christmas in the name, and they're actually Christmas setting, but again, like you said, as far as Die Hard, is that a Christmas movie? It's a tough call.
Well, we have another song, I think from The Who.
Right.
Let's listen. Is this a Christmas song? Let's listen. That sounds like a Christmas song to me.
That's an interesting one. That's from The Who's rock opera Tommy from 1969. And depending on who you talk to, that's the zenith of their career or their nadir. But that's Christmas, and it's talking about how this deaf, dumb, and blind boy does not know it's Christmas and kind of lamenting the fact that he's not going to understand what's going on around him even on Christmas Day. So it's a Christmas song, but certainly kind of a standalone, unusual Christmas song.
You're right about that. You know, when I think about Bruce Springsteen, his Christmas song, the one that comes to mind is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I love that song. But he has another one. And it's A Good Man is Hard to Find that you picked out. Let's listen to a bit of that.
It's cloudy out in Pittsburgh. It's raining in Saigon. Snow's falling all across the Michigan line. Where she sits by the light of her Christmas tree. With a radio softly on, thinking how good man is so hard to find.
Wow. Well, that's one of those that says you've got the setting, Christmas setting.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That one is buried on his outtake collection called Tracks, and it's not going to compete with the rah-rah of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, or even the other flip side of a single called Merry Christmas Baby, an old Charles Brown tune. But it, again, just as you said, it's got a Christmas setting, and that's early 80s. Much sounds like it from that kind of era. But again, it's a Christmas, it's a sad tune, a Christmas setting about people being apart.
Well, we have, I think, one more, a traditional ballad from Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. Arthur McBride, and maybe Tyler can get us into that song.
me and my cousin, one Arthur McBride, as we went a-walking down by the seaside. Now my foot followed, and what did we tie? Of it being on Christmas morning. Now for recreation, we went on a tramp, and we met Sergeant Napper and Corporal Vamp, and a little wee drummer intending the camp. Our day being pleasant and charming.
So why did you pick that one, Tom?
Well, that one kind of gets back to the setting again. It's interesting, I think, because that does not need to be set on Christmas morning, but it is. These two guys are out walking on Christmas morning, and they are met by some recruiters who are trying to get them to join the Army. And if you take a look, you said it's an old song, and it sure is. And if you take a look at the history of that, it's an anti-recruiting song, a very specific genre. And these two guys are having none of this recruiter's promises, and it doesn't go well for the recruiters, and Arthur McBride and his cousin get away just fine. But again, the tune stresses at the beginning and the end that it's taking place on Christmas morning for some reason. So there you've got the setting again.
Yeah, there you got the setting. Well, let's take a call. Bob in Milwaukee has a suggestion or an idea for us. Let's go there. Bob, hi.
Good morning, Larry. Love your show always, but especially this morning where I can sing the praises of one of the most prolific and rewarded songwriters of the Golden Age, and yet totally unknown by most people, Harry Warren. Harry Warren wrote over 1,500 songs. He was nominated for 11 Academy Awards, including Lullaby of Broadway, Jeepers Creepers, Chattanooga Choo Choo, I Got a Gal in Kalamazoo, on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, That's Amore, I Only Have Eyes for You, and all the music for 42nd Street. But he only wrote one Christmas song, and it's called I Wonder Where I'll Be Next Christmas.
Oh, and I we're not finding that one, unfortunately. But thanks so much, Bob. Tom Wilmoth, a comment on Harry Warren.
You know, that I think that he's so right as far as that's one of a large group of songwriters who just kind of got swept under the carpet as far as the songs that the listener was talking about are tunes from Broadway and Tin Pan Alley. And I think he's absolutely right. A lot of those composers are their names are not known well at all. And that's too bad. But that is a very specific genre of the 40s and 30s and into the 50s even, as far as mainly Broadway and show tunes. And he's right. The composers kind of labored in obscurity for a long time. I'm glad that he pointed to him.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, very much. I'm sorry we don't have that song, but not on YouTube. Tony in Darlington, we'll go to you now. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Larry. I used to host an anti-Christmas show. We had a guy, Paul Host at WMSC in Milwaukee, who does an eclectic Christmas marathon over Christmas Eve into Christmas morning. And at 6 o'clock, we would start playing Frank Zappa for 6 hours, which was really a challenge. And it was more for the fathers who were sick of Christmas and the presents were opened. And then they could go in their man cave and get some sanity back.
Tony, thanks so much. I don't know that Frank Zappa ever had a Christmas song.
I was thinking really hard. I can't think of a Zappa Christmas tune. But his point is a good one, I think. It's easy to become overloaded with Christmas songs if you have the radio or depending on who's in your house playing what. It can become saturation level as far as that's point. So I appreciate his idea on that. You're not gonna run into too many Christmas tunes with Frank Zappa.
Tony, thanks a lot. Well, let's go to Bill and Ladysmith as long as we're on the line here. Bill, what's on your mind?
Merry Christmas to all of us. I have a favorite song I love to hear, especially this time of year, but it doesn't get much play anymore. The song is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
You know, the
Me, I think it's showing the love they have for the grandmother.
You know, the first time I heard that song, I laughed and laughed. And I haven't heard it for a long time on the air. And oh, here, Tyler's got it.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog.
Elmo and Patsy.
Oh, man. Bill, you know, we didn't have that on the list, but I'm glad you called in and asked for it, and Tyler was able to scrounge it up, because I always get a kick out of that song. Oh, man, she'd been drinking too much eggnog. Well, a number of singers and bands from the 60s and 70s did some Christmas music. It got to be pretty popular, and maybe you could tell us about Jethro Tull. Well, let's listen first to his song, A Christmas Song, it's titled.
Once in Royal David City, stood a lonely cattle shed. Where a mother held her baby, you'd do well to remember the things he later said.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tom.
Just a lovely tune from Jethro Tull there. And if you know anything about Jethro Tull, you're thinking of Aqualung. But Ian Anderson had a great background in acoustic material, which even shows up on Aqualung. And that's a tune from the early 70s. It's a kind of an off single, and then it shows up on an early compilation record called Living in the Past. So he was kind of ahead of the curve on rock bands doing some Christmas things. And as you hear in the lyrics, that's really a remake of Once in Royal David City. But he does a fine job with that, and a nice acoustic tune.
It really is. How did the Christmas music ever get started? Who was the person? Of course, Bing Crosby sang White Christmas, but you know, there was a kind of a revival in the 60s and 70s. Was it Elvis?
I think Elvis's album was, you put your finger right on it. In 1956, Elvis's Christmas album came out, and that was huge. And right, like within weeks, in 56, Johnny Mathis's Christmas album came out, and both of those were real game changers for American radio and American Christmas music. And all of a sudden, when Elvis was doing not only pop tunes like Santa Bring My Baby Back to Me, but he was doing some serious tunes on the second side of that album, Oh Holy Night and different things, and it infuriated some people. But people started to realize these older Christmas songs could be adapted to the newer age, and it took off from there. And then, like you said, by the 1960s, you had some of those recordings, but also a variety of pop and rock people writing their own tunes and adaptations, like we just heard with Jethro Tull.
Our guest today, Tom Wilmoth, author of the book Sound Bites, A Lifetime of Listening, and you can hear him on his podcast. It's called The Vinyl Approach. Tyler Ditter, our busy engineer today. Jill Nadeau, our busy producer. I'm Larry Mueller, having a lot of fun here on the Ideas Network.
Don't give my brother a Steve Austin outfit. Don't give my sister a cuddly toy. We don't want a Jinx or a Monopoly money. We only want the real McCoy. Father Christmas, give us some money. We'll beat you up if you make us annoyed. Father Christmas,
The Kinks. The Kinks. Father Christmas. Well, that's a... Here you've got... What a juvenile delinquents there, don't you, Tom?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Kinks in your face there, sounding just like the Kinks. And like we talked about a second ago, as far as all of a sudden you've got pop and rock bands writing their own tunes. And just like you said, you basically the plot of that is juvenile delinquents taking on a storefront Santa because they want money and they want it right now. And it's a different approach, no doubt about it.
It is indeed. Well, there's a really nice one from the band, the group The Band. It's Christmas Must Be Tonight. And let's see if Tyler's got that one.
Little stranger wrapped in swaddling, below the Prince of Peace. The wheels start turning, torches start burning, and behold, wise men journey from the east. How a little baby boy bring the people so much joy. Son of a carpenter, Mary carried the light. This must be Christmas, must be tonight.
Yeah. Now that anybody would say is a Christmas song, I think, Tom.
I agree. And you know, a lot of people want to kind of count the band out after their first two or maybe even their first three albums. But later on, they had kind of a resurgence, and later in their career, and that's a really lovely tune. And the band, they got pretty uneven there as the years went on, but they sure hit it with that one. That's a lovely Christmas song.
You know, the next one you have on the list, you question if it is a Christmas song. Let's listen first, and then I want to ask you why. It's Neil Young with Star of Bethlehem.
It's still a light is shining from that lamp on down. Maybe the Star of Bethlehem wasn't a star at all.
Oh, okay. Well, comment on that.
Well, it's, you know, the name of the song is Star of Bethlehem, so you're thinking, okay, here we go with a straight-ahead Christmas type of song, and even though it's Neil Young, you think that's unusual, but okay, here's a Christmas song. But again, I think it's kind of a song of doubt as far as, you know, was that the star, or what was that, or certainly that's not the only way to interpret that tune. But I hear it as kind of a questioning song, as kind of a wondering... I'll say again, kind of a song of doubt, but a very interesting and unexpected one from Neil Young.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got a very 60s-sounding piece by Greg Lake. Let's listen to that one. I Believe in Father Christmas.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining, a veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, and the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire.
Wow, that's... beautiful, I think.
Yeah, it is. And again, Larry, it's one of those kind of standalone singles that got put out and then was forgotten about for many years until it started showing up on CD compilations. But Greg Lake is still in just great voice there and a lovely arrangement and a lovely tune. And that Christmas song holds up. I see that Emerson, Lake, and Palmer are going on tour. I'm not sure how that's going to work since Emerson and Lake are both dead. But Palmer insists it's going to be a real tour, and so we'll we'll see how that goes. Not to take away from Greg Lake there. That's a, and again, what a great voice, and from King Crimson and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and boy, he could he could sing anything and make it work, I think. And that, yeah. And there he's got a good song to work with.
Let's take a call and go to Claire in Sauk County next. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Larry. Happy holidays to you and your guests.
To you as well.
Thank you. I just love the song Mr. Grinch, and I know maybe it wouldn't be counted as obscure, but it doesn't get that much airtime anymore. And it actually is an anti-Christmas Christmas song in a way, but it also talks about mean people and how they can spoil Christmas. So it's got a kind of a cool message, and the music itself is fabulous. The singer is fabulous. I just love the song.
Yeah, just love the song, and we might have...
You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a... greasy black peel.
What do you think, Tom?
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful, and I wish I could pull his name up, but that's not Boris Karloff, who does the narration for the piece. That's the guy who does the voice of Tony the Tiger. When you hear that, you think, oh, yeah, I could hear that in there. But that's the Tony the Tiger voiceover person who sings that tune, and he didn't originally get credit on the show for that, and Dr. Seuss was just like really beside himself regretting that. But anyway, bottom line, that's the guy that does Tony the Tiger, and yeah, an anti-Christmas song, sure, but because we know it has a happy ending, it all works out.
Oh man, Jamie in Algoma, will give you a chance. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I'd like to recommend an artist you don't hear a lot. His name is Ted Yoder. He plays the hammer dulcimer, and he did go viral for Tears with Fears. The band came and sat with him at his rural Indiana property and played with him. But he does have a Christmas album called Christmas Songs of Comfort and Joy, and the song We Three Kings from that album is on YouTube. If you get a chance, check him out. He is fantastic. That album especially is a really good Christmas album.
Is it Ted Yoder?
Ted,
yeah, Ted Yoder, not Ed. Yeah. Here we go. That's pretty. Love of Autumn.
That's very nice. I something that she said sparked my something about you said earlier as far as when did this all begin, and it began arguably in the mid 50s with Elvis and Johnny Mathis and some of these people, but now it is such a huge subdivision of music. It's just to try to collect even a wide variety of Christmas records or Christmas recordings is just almost untenable, and I've found some of the fiercest record collectors I've ever met are the ones that focus on Christmas albums. It's an interesting, interesting subset.
Well, as long as we're on the phones here, let's go to Linda in Madison. Linda, what do you got for us?
Hey, I've got three. One is Cecilia, the Christmas breakup song. The second one is cheesy because it's Christmas in Wisconsin. And the third one, I believe Chad and Jeremy did, Snoopy and the Red Baron, that talks about Snoopy and the Red Baron having a battle on Christmas Eve as the town below is ringing out Christmas.
Oh, wow. So that's quite a collection, Linda. What do you think, Tom?
Well, that third one actually is by the Royal Guardsmen, and it's a follow-up to their song Snoopy and the Red Baron. And they thought, well, you know, they were one-hit wonders, but they thought, well, let's see if we can ride this a little bit longer. So they put out a Christmas song about Snoopy. But, yeah, the Royal Guardsmen did that, and they had a little bit of chart success with it, obviously, and our listeners heard of it. The other two sound like very, very regional Christmas songs, and that's also a large category as well. When I lived in Texas, it was, again, Austin and a lot of different places were huge into regional aspects of Christmas music, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But the Baron shot him down, curses roiled again. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. The bloody red Baron was rolling up the score.
Oh, man. So there's the Snoopy versus the Red Baron. You know, this is, talking about sort of regional things, but there's something that's kind of, well, a little bit regional, but it does have some national appeal for those who like a little polka with their Christmas pudding. I think we've got Frankie Yankovic with the song The Merry Christmas Polka.
They're tuning up the fiddles now, the fiddles now, the fiddles now. They're winding warm the middles now. Set your heart a whirl. Around and round the room we go, the room we go, the room we go. Around and round the room we go. Get yourself a girl now. Every
Oh, man, Frankie Yankovic. Are there many Christmas polkas, Tom?
There are. If you start looking for them, they are definitely out there. I think most polka bands have either put out a Christmas recording or a Christmas album. I pointed to that one because you just can't get more polka than Frankie Yankovic. and he has an entire Christmas album from several years ago, and it's called the Christmas Polka. So there's... Couple of ties to Wisconsin.
Yeah, and of course we have a Wisconsin favorite son in Les Paul. And of course, Les Paul had some Christmas songs, and I think we've got one up here. Let's see what Tyler's got. What's more Wisconsin than Les Paul?
Yeah, sounds just like him.
Oh man. I lived in Milwaukee a long time. Marion Madison has one for us, or has something for us. So let's go there to Marion Madison. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, this is Jazz... on the jazz side, Count Basie's Good Morning Blues. I have trouble with the lyrics, hearing all the lyrics. And I was wondering if he could comment on that.
Count Basie.
Count Basie is, I'm glad she brought up jazz. I'm not sure we have much on the list, but jazz is a very, again, another interesting subset of Christmas music. You've got people like Wynton Marsalis with a Christmas album out, and quite a few people. I was telling my wife the other day that the first time I ever really heard about Christmas music being played in a jazz format was Rahsaan Roland Kirk used to go down to the Village Vanguard on Christmas Eve and play Christmas tunes, and that was a really unusual and kind of a big deal 40 years ago. But since that time, again, a huge number of jazz artists have come out with Christmas recordings, and Kenny Burrell's Have Yourself a Soulful Little Christmas from 1966. That is a really high point, Kenny Burrell's guitar Christmas album.
Yeah, Mary, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can get Jason up from Cudahy. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call.
I've been, there's a few Christmas songs that I've listened to that are more non-traditional. There's a punk rock group that came out with a Christmas album in 1996 called Christmas with the Vandals. And I've been listening to it since I was a kid. And they got kind of a popular song called Voice of the World. It's pretty good. And the Ramones have a good Christmas song. And then there's some the metal group called King Diamond. There's a song called No Presents for Christmas, and I've been bothering my family with those Christmas songs for a while. But then I was looking for like a Christmas list or a playlist, and I found, on a different note, I found a really awesome Bob Dylan Christmas song, too, that I've been listening to a lot this past year.
So a whole raft of people there. Thank you so much, Jason. Comments? Tom, take your pick.
Yeah, well, he talked about the Vandals and King Diamond, and I don't know. I've heard of those bands, but I don't know their stuff very well by any means. But it just goes back to what I was saying as far as not everybody, but so many different bands have kind of at least stuck their toe into this Christmas genre. And I'd like to hear the Vandals and King Diamond. He didn't mention which Bob Dylan tune it was, but about in 2009, Bob put out that unexpected Christmas in the Heart album, and it's got it's a Christmas album, and fairly unexpected, very unexpected from Bob Dylan at that point, but he's got a Christmas album out of his own. I think, you know, once if Bob does something, a lot of other people think, well, I guess it's okay, whether it's putting out a Christmas album or selling your back catalog. So a lot of different people are doing Christmas tunes. It's almost, I wouldn't say it's hard to find a band that doesn't do it, but many, many groups are involved with it.
Bundles with Christmas.
There you go.
Christmas comes on once a year.
Oh, wow. That is a little off the...
punky.
So there's the Vandals.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's change genres from there to country. I don't know if anyone has ever counted, but I'll bet there are more country Christmas albums maybe than any other genre. And we have one from Willie Nelson. What a Merry Christmas this could be. Let's listen to Willie Nelson.
What a Merry Christmas this could be. If you would just come back to me. Say that you've forgiven me. What a Merry Christmas this could be.
Oh, nice song, Tom.
Yeah, that's Willie, and you can just tell by the way it's recorded, that's from his RCA record years with all that background and all that lush arrangement going on behind him. And I want to correct and also add something, Larry. You talked about, you know, Elvis, he opened the door for the pop world as far as Christmas music, but I want to correct myself really and say that there were you said it, there were so many country music Christmas songs going on before that. You've got Ernest Tubb and Eddie Arnold. They were having radio hits with Christmas tunes as early as 1948 and 1949. Ernest Tubb's White Christmas and really sad tunes by Eddie Arnold, as far as, you know, will Mommy Remember Christmas This Year, and just some real heartbreaking Christmas songs. They're not funny, but they are.
Well, on the flip side of those songs you just mentioned, we have Hank Snow with Nestor, the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey. Let's hear that.
Everyone knows about Rudolph, our fleet-footed friend from the north, who lights Santa's way through the darkness as he drives his sleigh back and forth. But there's someone else we should mention if we want the whole story told. He carried the first gift of Christmas, more precious than diamonds or gold. Nestor was a donkey who seldom laughed at play.
I don't want to offend anybody who likes that tune, but that's just pathetic. Because what was going on there is that after the huge financial success of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, everybody was trying to put out some kind of a novelty tune about a differently abled animal or something. And there you've got the pit Nestor, the long-eared Christmas donkey. And Hank Snow tries to sell it as best he can there, but boy, that was not a hit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've never heard that one before, probably for a good reason.
Yep.
This is one I'm not sure that I've heard before, by Loretta Lynn. Let's give a listen to that.
Your Christmas tree this year. You can stay out there, a toast and cheers with all your friends. But don't count on me being here when you come back again. Your buds are burnt out and your tinsel don't shine. I just won't be waiting this time. I won't decorate your Christmas tree this year.
I have never heard that one either, but comment on it, Tom.
There are some things I kind of hesitate to say about that one. But I will say, though, that the country artist had kind of a fine line to walk, and she does it really well there. You hear three notes, and you know that's Loretta Lynn. She has her attitude intact as far as not taking guff from her man. But if these country people, or anybody maybe, but if these country artists are going to put out a Christmas record, they still want you to know it's them. And she's able to pull that off very well with that song. And I'll say the title kind of, again, you can take that in a variety of ways.
I won't decorate your Christmas tree.
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, here's a fun one from George Strait. Christmas cookies. We've got to see if Tyler can find it. Oh, there it is.
I sure do like those Christmas cookies, sugar. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. The ones that look like Santa Claus, Christmas trees and bells and stars. I sure do like those Christmas cookies, babe. Now, Christmas cookies are,
you know,
a special
that's a fun little toe tapper.
That is. I think that's one of, you know, George Strait has three different Christmas CDs out. That tune is not on any of them. It's an odd little throwaway that I think it shows up on a couple of compilations here and there, but that's one of his better Christmas songs. And just like you said, that's a toe tapper, and it's got a little recitation in there. That's a fine country Christmas song, but it's kind of, it's on YouTube, of course, but as far as a physical copy, that one kind of got lost in the shuffle.
And I got to say, as I was listening, that I have not had my fair share of Christmas cookies this season, and so it's making me hungry for one of those sugar cookies. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Here's a classic from Dolly Parton that I think everybody will enjoy. And it's called Hard Candy Christmas.
Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow. But still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. I'll be fine and dandy.
Well, that sure sounds like Dolly Parton, doesn't it?
You know, that's the thing. That's an interesting one, Larry, because she's such a great songwriter. She did not write that one, but she chose to record it, and I think it's because it shows off her voice so well. It's a fine tune, but boy, she's able to really make something out of that song. It's one of my wife's favorites, and that tune really opened a lot of doors for me as far as modern country. I thought, you know, this is really good, and Dolly is, she's great.
Oh, man. Tom Wilmoth, our guest today. You can hear him on his podcast, The Vinyl Approach, as we talk with him this 90 minutes about Christmas songs, especially those we don't always hear, and of course, some favorites as well. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.
Me, I'll be just fine.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby.
and the snow is falling on the ground.
Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, and the snow is falling on
Christmas.
The ground.
Christmas.
You'll be a real good little baby now, 'cause Santa Claus is back in town.
Christmas.
That's a little nice upbeat tune for us, Tom.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we talked a little bit ago about regional acts and regional bands, and that's out of Austin, from an Austin Christmas record. I have the band called Woe Trigger, and I put that on there because the leader of that group was a guy named Monty Warden, and he would go on to form the Wagoneers, and it's one of the many lost bands that never quite made it to the point they should have, but just a heck of a band, and Monty Warden, what a talented guy. But yeah, they do a whoa. I like the name of that band, Woe Trigger.
Well, we should get, we've got lots of callers online. Let's take a call from Tim in Marinette. Tim, what's on your mind? Oh, we lost Tim. So let's try Alan in Green Bay. Alan, are
Hi,
you Alan. There?
I certainly am. Can you guys hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a particular Christmas song that I like, Santa Baby. And I believe the artist, the female artist, her first name maybe begins with E. Her last name is Vit or Wit or Kit.
Eartha
maybe
Kit.
There you go. That's why we have experts on this show to answer those questions. So was she the original recording of that song?
Eartha Kitt.
I think she was the first, certainly the most famous, and that's the real go-to version. I can't swear that she was the first to record it, but that's the version of that tune.
Put a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Oh, nice.
Great diction.
Great diction. Great diction. Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Alan. That's one I hadn't thought about for a while. How about Pete in Wauwatosa? Pete.
Hi there. While you were talking about the country tunes, I was thinking of a gospel group called the Martins, who put out a Christmas album about 20 years ago, and they've got a country rock song on there called Go Tell. I've never heard anybody else do it, and I think it's pretty cool.
And I don't know if we can find that one, but it's the group is the Martins, and the song is Go Tell. I had not heard that one. Tom, have you?
I don't know that one, but it leads back into gospel groups. Of course, it's a natural as far as them doing Christmas tunes. Larry, I want to give a quick shout out to Tyler. He is just doing great as far as pulling up these things out of the. He's just doing wonderful. So good. That's great because it makes a huge difference. But no, the again, gospel groups. There's so many of them, and again, it's another large, very specific genre, and of course so many of them have done Christmas albums.
And you know, as long as we're on the lines here, let's just go once more and go to Jay in Green Bay. Jay, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Long-time listener.
Thank you for calling.
One that my kids really get a kick out of, I believe his name is Lou Monty. It's Dominic the Donkey. My kids get a real kick out of that one.
And it's by Lou Monty. Do you know that one,
Tom? Yeah.
I don't. We're getting into a donkey theme, though. I don't know that one.
Well, here it is.
La, 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 la. Santa's got a little friend. His name is Dominic. The cutest little donkey, you never see him kick. When Santa visits his paisans with Dominic, he'll be. Because the reindeer can, I climb the hills of Italy. Hey, tingity ting.
There we go. Oh, Jay, thanks for calling that one in. I appreciate that very much. Oh, my goodness me. We have, let's go back to Motown here a bit. And we have to hear from Motown. Carla Thomas has one. And I think it's Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. I don't know if, here we go. Comment on Carla Thomas and Gee Whiz.
That's got a fine hook, a very memorable hook when she gets to it. Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. That's another one, kind of like I was talking about with that one, the caller who talked about the Royal Guardsman. In 1960, Carla Thomas had a tune called Gee Whiz, Look at His Eyes. And so now here in 1963, she's trying to kind of capitalize that or go back to that, and smart move. And so instead of the hit, you know, Gee Whiz, Look at His Eyes, she's kind of remaking it a little bit, or at least name recognition with Gee Whiz, It's Christmas. And it did. It charted. It did okay. So, again, a smart move on her part, and it's so great to hear her voice.
Yeah, it's a wonderful voice. And a voice we haven't heard yet is Stevie Wonder. And it's going to end a nice song, What Christmas Means to Me. Let's listen to that a bit. Comment on that one, Tom.
That's a fine Christmas tune from a very interesting era. That's from 1967, and little Stevie Wonder is pretty much behind him, and he's a couple of years away yet from the mature Stevie Wonder of Music of My Mind and Talking Book and Superstition and You Are the Sunshine of My Life. So it's an interesting interim there for him. Like I say, most of the big hits of his really young era are over, but right there, 1967, he can still be funky, and at the end of that tune, he gets into a little bit of a harmonica solo, so he never went away. He had it every step of the way, so that's a nice one to hear.
Yeah, it is indeed. And, you know, folk is always a great Christmas genre, I think, and there's I think we have another song that isn't quite necessarily Christmas, but one from Joni Mitchell, I believe.
Don't snow here, stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to fly.
Oh, man.
I think if you talk to Joni Mitchell fans, many of them would point to that song as top five or top three. I mean, that is, I saw her at the Dane County Coliseum in Madison in January of 74. She considers it a Christmas tune because some people were requesting it, and she said to the audience, I only do that one in December. So it again, back as far as setting, but boy, that is a mournful, great song by Joni Mitchell.
It is indeed. And maybe we can go out of our break with Joan Baez, has the perfect voice for traditional carols, I think. And Let's listen to her a bit to kind of take us to the top of the hour.
Down in yon forest there stands a hall, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with purple and pall, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. Stands a bed, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with scarlet so red, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything.
Oh, beautiful song, a beautiful singer. Larry Mealer here with my guest, Tom Wilmoth. You can check him out on The Vinyl Approach. We'll be with us. He'll be with us till 12:30. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us.
Frosty Christmas Eve, when the stars were shining, I traveled forth alone, where westward falls the hill, and for many...
John Denver brings us back to the program, Noel Christmas Eve, 1913, I think it's titled. Tom Wilmoth, our guest. Tom, of course, you can hear him on his podcast, The Vinyl Approach. And it's great to have him with us as we talk Christmas music. John Denver, I always liked John Denver's voice, Tom.
It's a lovely voice. And I know that, he was kind of a punching bag for a while as far as his career, but boy, he really could sing. And we've played it in other years, as far as he has a song on one of his records as far as Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas, but this one I think really kind of speaks more to the John Denver persona. New Year, Christmas Eve 1913, it's an odd tune. It's buried on a record John Denver sings with the Muppets. But the Muppets are not on this recording, but it's kind of strange. But he does a fine, it's a lovely little tune.
It is indeed. Alice in Sheboygan is on the line with another guy who's had a pretty good voice, I believe. Alice, hi.
Hi. I'm calling from Sheboygan, but I grew up in Sparta, Toma. And the Rural Electric Company always brought in country western singers, and one of the ones, Eddie Arnold, of course. And his Will Santa, one of my favorites is Will Santa Come to Shanty Town to a Poor Little Boy Like Me.
Oh.
What if I promise to be good? always been in my heart, that Christmas.
Here it comes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Will he bring me some toys like the other girls and boys? Will Santa come to Shantytown if he sees our Christmas tree?
Oh, man. Mommy, Eddie Arnold.
What a voice. He really had two distinct careers. He was... Annie Arnold, the Tennessee Plowboy, on the early records for RCA, and then later on in his career, you'd see him sitting on the couch in a tuxedo with Johnny Carson singing later ballads. So he was really able to weather all sorts of changes and a great, great voice. But that's one of those tunes we talked about earlier where the mother is going to have to paint the toys to make them look like they're something different, and it's a sad song.
Yeah, it is indeed. But Alice, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. And as long as we're on phones here, let's go to Sue in Sussex next. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Larry. Thanks so much for the show. I've enjoyed all the classics that I grew up with, of course, Judy Garland, Dean Martin, all the very classic artists in the songs. But I'm also I also love to listen now to some of the newer, in the last 20 or 30 years, the new rock artists and the things they've done. One of my favorites is the Dave Matthews song, the Christmas song. It is beautiful. And there's also a great album by Sting If on a Winter's Night, it's the entire album is themed after the winter and the holiday season, and there's beautiful songs on that as well.
Dave Matthews, Christmas song. I don't know if Tyler... Oh, yeah, he found it.
Shine love, 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 love.
Love was all around. What do you think, Tom?
You know, she brings up the names of two bands that you just would not think of as far as the Christmas genre, as far as the Dave Matthews Band and the Police, or Sting. Those don't, you think of either of those groups, and for me, I'm not thinking Christmas. But it just shows how widespread the recording is of some of these songs, some old and a lot new, like she also mentioned.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to hear people sort of out of character with their songs,
right. You
know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sue. And Jim in Boston, we'll go to you. Jim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Larry and Tom. Great show. I have a favorite that is Lorena McKenna, and she sings God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Just a beautiful voice and nice song.
Lorena? Lorena McKenna.
M-C, capital K-E-N-N-I-T-T.
Oh, McKenna. Okay, well, maybe we can find that. Do you know her, Tom?
I don't, and once again, I'm not surprised at all. It's such a wide field. I'm glad for some listeners to be making me aware of some of these things that are new to me, because I'll say once again, it's a wide, wide field.
Well, here she is.
And the Christ of Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's paws when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort.
Nice voice, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're good.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it very much. Well, we've got some more songs on your list that I want to get back to a little bit.
Okay.
Here's one. I don't think you can mistake this trio. Let's see if Tyler can find the cherry. There it is.
In anger flew he, let the father of the baby gather cherries for thee. Let the father of the babies gather cherries for thee.
Peter, Paul, and Mary, Tom.
That's a good example of, if you have that record on or if you're playing that and that comes on and you think, oh, yeah, Peter, Paul, and Mary, very, very beautiful. But then if you start listening to the lyrics, it's kind of odd. You've got the lyrics are describing Mary wants some cherries from the cherry tree, and Joseph gets kind of snippy with her and isn't very happy about getting the cherries for her, and an unborn Jesus intervenes. So it's an unusual plot line on that one. And again, you don't hear Joseph showing up in a lot of these tunes, but he's a major player in the Cherry Tree Carol, and Peter, Paul, and Mary sounding great there.
They do indeed. And there's another one by a group, NRBQ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's listen. They've got a song, "The Christmas Wish," I believe it's called.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's the time of the year when all good dreams come true. I look at all the toys out under the tree.
Tell us about this group. I'm not familiar with it.
The band is an example of a group with just staying power, and they kept their first album came out in 1967 on Columbia. Their first album had a tune by Sun Ra on it, very much of a free jazz guy, and yet most of their material sounds like that Christmas wish. In some ways, I've always wondered if NRBQ was a little too diverse for its own good. But they're still around. I saw them at Shank Hall here in Milwaukee a couple of years ago, and they're still getting it done. So pretty much of a rhythm and blues. It's, you know, NRBQ, New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, is what that stands for. So they're, I give them credit as far as just being road warriors and staying with it for all these years.
Well, some songs from the 80s time frame. Billy Squier, not usually associated with Christmas. Let's hear
right.
Let's hear a little of Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You. Oh, talk about Billy Squier a little, Tom.
That song is what Bruce Springsteen would call frat rock, because you've got all the kind of shouting behind it, and I could hear Bruce doing that
too.
That's a single of Billy Squier's from quite a few years back. Christmas is the Time to Say I Love You, and frat rock, and I mean that as a compliment. He's clearly having a good time, and it's kind of a sing along and away you go. Yeah, some fun stuff with that one.
I like it too. This one is played a bit, but that voice, let's listen.
Special one for you. Merry Christmas, darling. We're apart, that's true. But I can dream, and in my dreams I'm Christmasing with you.
Holiday. Oh, man, Karen Carpenter and the Carpenters.
Yeah, that's drummer Hal Blaine of the Wrecking Crew tells the story that they were doing a session with the Carpenters, and he encouraged her to, he said, the money's in the basement, meaning sing in your lower register. And when she sings in that lower register, boy, there's just nothing like it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Here's, that's one I could listen to a long time. This sounds very 80s. Coming up next, Grown Up Christmas List, Amy Grant.
Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now and still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream.
Pretty song.
It is. Very 80s, and I think, Larry, the reason that jumps out at everybody is those keyboards. They just sound very much like 80s production, and that's not a put-down, but it really does kind of, if not dated, it really puts it in a special place, specific place. And I think that's true of the opening number we had, Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time. It's a nice, catchy tune, but the keyboards on that one, like this Amy Grant tune, it comes from a very, very specific era in pop music.
I want to go to some of our emails because we haven't been there for quite a while here. Lois in Eau Claire suggests a song by Sting, and the song is There Is No Rose of Such Virtue. And I'm trying to remember if I'm sure I've heard it, maybe not, but, and Tyler may have some trouble finding that particular song. But Sting did produce some Christmas music, and we might have it. We'll have to see. Maybe not. Yeah, here it comes.
as is the rose that bare Jesus.
Kind of beat there, Tom.
Yeah, boy, and boy, talk about singing in your lower register. He sure was there, especially at the beginning. I think that tune comes from the album that the previous listener was talking about. I think it's from that album, that partly Christmas and partly kind of winter solstice kind of tunes. But yeah, some, again, unexpected material from Sting.
Let's see. I want to try, you know, Jeff... would like to suggest one. It's kind of our at the top of our list here. 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders, and that may be one that might be one that Tyler can't find on short notice. But here it is. There we go, the Pretenders. What do you think, Tom?
Well, another very distinctive voice. You're not going to confuse Chrissy Hynde with anybody. Her voice is kind of buried in that mix, but she has such a distinctive voice. That's the Pretenders, and that's her. There's just no doubt about it. So, no, I don't know that tune. I'm guessing that's from one of their later albums. That band kind of fell into two distinct settings also, the first two records, and then they kind of had some difficulty and then came back with a lot of others. So,
you know, and I'm glad you picked one by John and Yoko and the Plastic One Band, just so we let's listen to that one. It's Happy Christmas. War is over, and we may not be able to get that one up. Well, we got it.
Yeah, that's always nice to hear. That's an interesting one too, Larry, because it was issued as a single about the time the Beatles were breaking up, and it didn't really do all that well, and it didn't chart, and I mean, it was around, but it was only in later years that people really started to embrace that record and that song, and now, of course, it's a Christmas staple.
Yeah, we hear that's one we hear pretty often.
Right.
Let's see if we got time here. Yeah, I think we've got Ralph in Hayward emailed. He wanted to recommend Albert King's song, Santa Claus Wants Some Loving. So we kind of go from one extreme to the next here, I think. But Albert King, let's listen.
I'm in the kitchen cooking, and the children upstairs are sleeping. sleep. It's time for old Santa Claus to make his midnight creep. Oh.
You know that one, Tom?
I don't know that one, but I'm so glad he recommended that because we have not had any straight-ahead electric blues on the show today. So that fixes that problem. So I'm glad he recommended that tune.
Oh, man. And we've got another one to kind of go out on, a sort of a last selection from you, which is Dan Fogelberg. And before we start it, talk a bit about Dan Fogelberg.
You know, whenever Dan Fogelberg, he's somebody that should have been bigger. He had several hits. He did well, but I don't know. He just he did quite well in the very early 80s with a couple of tunes, Another Auld Lang Syne and a tune about his father. And he did okay, but he's gone now. But it just always struck me, this is one of these guys that did okay, but he should have been a bigger artist. And a wonderful voice, beautiful voice, and some really good records.
Yeah, let's listen to a bit.
The beer was empty and our tongues were tired and running out of things to say. She gave a kiss to me as I got out and I watched her drive away. Just for a moment I was back in school.
Oh, yeah. He does have a beautiful voice.
Yeah, almost a Taxi kind of plot as far as the Harry Chapin thing. That kind of same thing as far as encountering an old love. But he makes it, it's a different tune, and he makes it his own, and it's very nice, and it's a Christmas tune.
Well, on that note, Merry Christmas, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for putting your list together. We always look forward to your visits.
Thank you for having me.
And it's always a pleasure. And you're going to be back before next Christmas for sure. And again, thanks so much, Tom Wilmoth. His book Sound Bites: A Lifetime of Listening, and you can hear him on his podcast right now if you wanted to, called The Vinyl Approach. He puts together a great list every year. And you are great listeners. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow we talk about our fourth book club book, Bicycling with Butterflies, Visit with Sarah Dykeman. In the meantime, happy holidays. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.